that fella's a real diplomat. I'd hire him if I had anything to hire with. Nice to meet nice people. I don't quite qualify there, but it's just always nice to meet them when they're nice. Let's bow our heads in a little prayer, shall we? Brother Bram said, talk to the author of the book. Our Father, again, we look to you tonight, knowing, Lord God, that what has been set before us is so true that there isn't any man knows the things of God save the Spirit of God that is in God, of God that is God. And we pray now, Lord, that your Spirit will be in our lives here and we will be honest enough to give him the exact preeminence that he is due, which is that he is to teach us and lead us into all truth. Lord, we would not be guilty of comparing spiritual with carnal, but Lord, we would be honorable and compare spiritual to spiritual. Help us, Lord, therefore, to receive your word as is written, to understand it, and then may that same word have full course in our lives, that you might be glorified. We commit ourselves into your hands, Lord, unreservedly believing that we shall receive word from you tonight, not thoughts of man, but indeed the word of God. And Lord God, then we know that we'll be right. We ask this for your glory, Lord, and hang upon your mercy. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, this morning we took the first phase of the rapture, using as the scripture, the scripture that Brother Branham taught in Yuma, just previous to his death, when he read to us, for this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not go before them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first, then we which are alive and remain be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, so shall we ever be with the Lord. Now, he taught that the rapture would be a secret rapture, but in three phases, and that the shout was a message, and that the voice of the archangel was the raising of the dead, coming, the bodies coming out of the grave, and with the trump of God, which would be the summoning to the marriage supper. And this seemed to be a difficult thing to attempt to believe, except when you look in the Word, you find that we, our understanding of the word shout is entirely foreign to the scriptural meaning. The word shout to us is a large, a great noise that attracts attention. But that is not the meaning of the word. And so, therefore, you will find some modern versions which attempt to correctly set it forth, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with the voice of command. Well, that sounds interesting, but it's still very vague. Command what? He already commanded men to repent everywhere, having winked at their ignorance. Command men what? What is a command? Does it signify that this is as a general descending, and thereby somehow with his voice bringing the people into proper marching order? Well, that could well be it. It must be something, because it is not simply a noise, it's a command. It is actually the command of assembling. Now, I want you to notice here the thought of command, because this is very, very important. You know, if it has a command, then there is a command to be obeyed. There is something that must be known and adhered to. What is this? Command of assembling. Now the Lord has to assemble the people, because it says over here in 2 Thessalonians, we beseech you by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together to him. There is an assembling. Now if the people are going to assemble, the assembling has to start with whatever the Lord is bringing by means of this shout or this voice. Now also it tells us that not only is this not just a noise that would attract attention, but the voice is not even the voice of the Lord. Now, that sounds strange to say the Lord himself will descend And it's not even going to be his voice, but that's the actual truth. So it should be written here, the Lord himself shall come down from heaven, and there will be a voice that he will use, because that is so. Now, God spoke to Moses and said, I'm going to go down and deliver Israel out of Egypt. And then he sent Moses to do it. He also said, I'm going to go down and see if the cry of Sodom is altogether have I heard, and he sent two angels. So the Lord coming down does not necessarily signify the personal presence of God appearing visibly and manifesting himself to the people coming down, but that it is God coming down by a special means. And the special means with God delivering Israel was by a man, a prophet, and the special means of God investigating Sodom and Gomorrah was by angels. Now, also, in the book of John, when Jesus mentioned that he came down, he designated himself as the bread of heaven. Now, we know that the bread is the word of God, for man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. That the food of the believer is the word of God. I esteem thy word more than my necessary meat. So we see here then, bringing out scripture, which has been veiled until this time, that's within the last couple of years, that though the Greek scholars knew this, and they were able to translate it, and those in the Aramaic, it was absolutely unrevealed to them. Now I know what I'm talking about because I have got the Greek references. I didn't hatch this up by my own thinking. It didn't come out simply because Brother Branham said so. I received it because he said it, but I began searching and cross-referencing the scripture. Now, many people don't like that, but as I said this morning, if he sat in that room for 1 week in Jeffersonville, in his home, and the pillar of fire hung in that room and taught him, yet his own words were that he immediately cross-referenced everything the pillar of fire said to know he wasn't being deceived. And don't tell me you and I are any bigger than he, so we can just take what he said and forget it. You find out what it's about. You search it. Many people don't understand this, and there's where the Laodicean spirit comes in, because they say, we don't need anybody, we got the taste, we heard the prophets, that's that. And here, just about every place you go, everybody's got a different idea. It's a hogwash. You need some, you need people. And I'm not vindicating myself, because you never called me to preach, God did. One woman from here told me I should quit preaching. She said, well, maybe not you, but more of you should quit preaching. I said, sister, God called me to preach, you didn't. I almost killed me once for quitting. I'm going on this time. If I preach, I'll preach till I die. If nobody likes it, who cares? Evidently, you seem to be at least happy and awake as you're here, so I appreciate that very much. Not that somebody comes and gives you a line to swallow and say, you take it, find out if these things be so. The noble Bereans even found out that Paul was right. They studied to see. They're commended for it. So he taught us and said this was a message. And that's exactly what it is. It's Christ coming down by the prophet, the bread broken to the people of this day. That's right. And there was a special manifestation given because the pillar of fire appeared in June 17, 1933. And the feet of the mighty angel of Revelation were as pillars of fire. And it's in the end time age that the feet of the image are exposed. Clay and iron mingled. See? And its fire represents judgment because his feet as were brass burned in a furnace. Why do I say that? Because when the bride goes, judgment has to hit the earth. And it's going to. The retributive wrath of God will come upon this earth in the great tribulation. So that the scripture saying the Lord himself descending from heaven with a shout is the Lord himself bringing a particular revelation for this age. And it's not his voice, so it's got to be the voice of somebody. Now you know that God does not deliver his ministry to angels, which ministry is for the bride. Never. When he came down, he never took upon himself the form of an angel. The scripture absolutely denies that he did. He took upon himself the form of a man. And God became flesh. Not our flesh. But I think you might call it the original flesh that Adam had, for all I know. Because he was the yet another way different, because this time was the blood of God, though Adam, we know, did have the life of God in him. Son of God, you can't deny that. Adam was the first man. Christ was the second. And God brought down his revelation of redemption to mankind, because he was their redemption. And he doesn't minister by angels, that is, heavenly beings. He ministers by human beings that are called angels. Messengers, at Angelos in the Greek. But it's a messenger. And so he will have a messenger bringing a message to the people, which is the first step to the rapture, because it gets them in motion to be caught up. And if you don't get in motion to be caught up, forget it. Now here we're going to have a real divergence opinion, and I'll be called bigoted, and so will you. And you'll be excoriated just like me, and they'll think we're a bunch of frauds and nincompoops and God knows what. But I challenge any man living to prove to me that if this is the real Word of God, which we know it to be, just exactly what we were taught, if this is the first step of the rapture, don't tell me you can have step number two and three without getting step number one. Now, you may have people think you can. Now, that's fine by me. Because they can do what they want, because I'm not responsible. Every man will bear his own burden in judgment day. But I take the unequivocal stand tonight that if you reject step number one of the rapture, you have automatically destroyed yourself as pertaining to being in the great marriage supper of the Lamb. You haven't got a chance. Now, just that hard. You say, well, you're destroying Christ. That's a lie from hell. I'm not destroying Christ. I'm exalting him. You say you're going to meet around Jesus. Hogwash. You meet around his word. People, Pentecostals, you got a Pentecostal background, let me warn you. I got one too. And people say, I sought God. I say, how did you seek God? How did you seek him? Well, I got. Yeah, you don't even know how. See, I worship God. You lie from your soul up to your boots. You can't worship God without spirit and truth. And truth is the word. See, I'm going to pray to God. How do you pray to God? You can't pray without the Word. You can't seek God without the Word. You don't know God without the Word. You have nothing without the Word. It is this Word that perishes, because God is the Word. Now, he even revealed himself in the Word. Samuel. That's one of my favorite verses. I'm awful sorry Brother Branham didn't use it. Not because, just because I think it's the very verse he should have used. Maybe he didn't come to his attention. What he preached so hard on, that God is the Word. And the Lord appeared again in Shiloh. For the Lord revealed himself to Samuel in Shiloh. Now notice it. Let me give you an illustration here. Now I've got my glass case in here. Doesn't it appear, right? It appears again, right? That's what it said. The Lord appeared twice. And he did it by the Word. See? That's why when God revealed himself in flesh, it was the Word revealed in flesh. And when he comes again, it's the Word riding upon the white horse. See? Certainly it is. So when we talk tonight about the rapture and the three phases, the Lord Jesus Christ himself descending, bringing with him that other portion, the dead coming out of the grave, we say to you, by the Word of the Lord, this is thus saith the Lord. There has got to be the voice of God come in this last day with a message that begins to put the bride in motion, the living bride on earth. Right. And she's not put in motion by the Lord's Word. And it's got to be now, not in the ages which are past. It's now, because we're talking about the living that'll be caught up. And anyone who denies that will never take a part in the rapture. Just otherwise throw you, as far as I'm concerned, if I didn't believe what I preach tonight and see this, I'd just throw this in the gutter and say, forget it. Talk about rallying around Jesus Christ. Never mind the dog, never mind the word. Jesus said to the Pharisees, you worship me in vain, having your own ideas instead of the Word of God. I want to show you something here. They were not the a bunch of apostates we might think they were, as though they were vulgar heathen. They were the elite, the spiritual elite of the day, and they were God's children according to election, and they missed it. Well, come on, I didn't tell you that. That's the truth. If they weren't, who were? Was it the Romans? No. Was it the Greeks? No. Was it the Africans? The Abyssinians? No. Was it the English people? The French? No. Who was it? The only of all nations have I had respect to. Nobody but Israel was in the covenant. And they missed Jesus Christ 100%. Now, it wasn't the generation before them missed it. And it wasn't the generation before them that missed it. It was Christ's own generation that missed it. And you know, he said, when they hung him on the cross, blot their names out of the book of life. He was that revealed word. Why? Because he was what the prophets were talking about. Now we've got the same thing again. In the last days, the Lord himself is descending from heaven. He's coming down. That's what the Bible says. Now, is this scriptural that there should be a message of the last day? Let's find out. The book of Revelation chapter 10 in the 7th verse tells us that there is going to appear a prophet in the days of the voice of the 7th messenger when he shall begin to sound. Notice, the mystery of God should be finished as he hath declared to his servants the prophets. What mystery? The word revealed. That's right. The word revealed. In the days of the voice of the 7th messenger, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished, as he has declared a certain problem. Why? Because the mighty angel that came down, Christ, in spirit, revealing himself through the ministry and the word of the prophet, said time will be no longer delayed. Once this preacher, this prophet, hits the scene and begins to reveal God in the Word and the mysteries of the Word by a preaching, teaching ministry, corroborated as I brought up this morning by the supernatural, it says this is it. It started. And you'll not stop it. And it will only end with the bride being raptured. Now, so, what is the seventh angel, the seventh messenger? There's only one seventh messenger in the Bible that speaks. That's the seventh age messenger, the Laodicean messenger. And he's a prophet. And remember, there are only two messengers mentioned in the Word of God to the Gentiles that are prophets. Paul, a Jew. And now in this last age, the messenger will be a prophet. Why? Because God brings his word to the prophet. Let's take a look at Malachi again. Malachi. Let's read first chapter 3 first. Behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me. And the Lord whom you seek shall suddenly come to his temple. Even the messenger covenant whom you shall delight, whom you delight in, behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts. But who may abide the day of his coming? And who shall stand when he appeareth? For he is like a refiner's fire, and like a fuller's soap, and so on. Do you know something? That the two comings of Jesus Christ are right in those two verses. The day that Christ, the time of Christ appearing in his body on the earth as Redeemer, and the time that he appears to the 144,000, and he judges the earth. In other words, he destroys all those that come up against Israel. Now, notice in the 4th chapter, 5 and 6. Behold, I send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord, and he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children, and the heart of the children of the fathers as to come and smite the earth to curse. Do you know that in there is the first and second coming of Christ? Certainly. We know the first coming is mentioned because Jesus, him, the angel of the Lord, brought this to Zechariah. In Luke, the first chapter, and in verse 16, speaking of John the Baptist, and many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God, and he shall go before God in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to children. And he doesn't repeat the second part. That takes place at the end of the age.
Notice, he turns the hearts of the fathers to the children, even the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. There's no place in the Bible about a prepared people except the Gentiles under election. In the book of Romans. And it says right here that he's going to turn the disobedient to the wisdom of the just. Now, what's a disobedient person? How do you know you disobey God? Only if you know the Word. What's the wisdom of God? The Word of God. Then what was wrong with these people? They were off the Word. And yet they were the elect of God. You know that for hundreds of years Israel never had a prophet? Same thing right today. We had reformers. Do you realize Israel didn't have a prophet, in my understanding, for 400 years? And you know that God gave us a reformer 400 years ago? And brought us up to the end time to a prophet, just what he did with himself and John? He brought in John, the prophet messenger. Just works out like clockwork. Exactly, everything just dovetails. Everything parallels. Israel had seven ages, we have seven ages. Israel didn't have a prophet for 400 years, we didn't have anything. We had reformers, the best we could get. Then came the one prophet, roughly 400 years later. Now, notice in here that these ones were to be turned back to the Word of God. Now, the Scripture says in the end time, there's going to be somebody to turn the hearts of the children to the Father. Now, what in the world is the children of the Father situation? It tells us here in the book of Acts, the third chapter, Peter speaking, you are the children of the prophets. How are you children of prophets? Because you are the children of the Word, and you are what the Word spoke of. See? So, what's it going to be in the end day? When the hearts of the children are turned to the Father, they're going to be turned back to the prophets. Upon what is the foundation of the church built? The apostles and the prophets, because they brought us the Word. Then, where are the hearts of the children going to be turned? They've got to be turned back to the Word of the prophets and apostles, as we know the doctrine of the New Testament. And you know that as well as I do, because if anybody came and turned your hearts back to Moses, they would be doing dishonor to the Word of God, because you can't go back to Moses. He's finished. The law and the prophets was until John, and grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. And if you go back to the law, the Bible says grace is none effect and Christ is none effect. You're going to hell here in your sins. Turn down this message now. Proved again, you're lost and undone. You can't have your cake and eat it. You've got a prophet coming on the scene and turning the hearts of Israel back to the law. And you don't even know your Bible. You don't know anything, because the Moses and Elijah are going to come. They're going to talk about Jesus Christ. And when Christ comes and appears, they're going to find out they pierced his hand. And they're going to find what Jesus said about himself and what Paul said about him and the other apostles was exactly right. And he's not going to say, well, no, let's go back to the law. You're just sweet little people, didn't know any better. We'll go back and you sacrifice bulls and goats. Take your time. It's all right. Because if you go back to Moses, you go back to a blood offering, the bulls and goats. Moses was just a servant in the house. He wasn't the builder. Christ is the builder. You don't go back and worship the servant once you get the man of the house. So the hearts are not turned back to the law. The hearts must be turned back to the pure Word of God in order for the faith of God to have control in this end time. Because perfect faith is predicated upon the perfect Word. With everybody, so many ideas in this last day. And those ideas are prevalent and will be even amongst us until God works the thing out, because it's by revelation. There's no such thing as a dynamism of faith until that Word becomes absolutely clear as exactly what it means. They're split every old which way. But the Scripture said he's going to turn the hearts back. When John the Baptist came, he laid out that Word. And there was a group of people who heard the Word and they said, we're wrong, and they went to the Word. And the end time, there has to be a prophet also who brings the Word. And the people say, that's exactly right. We believe what he said, we were wrong and what we said. And that's what we find right here in the book of Thessalonians, where we have been taught that the Lord is going to descend with a big shout. How can there be a secret rapture with a great big noise? This word in the Greek is never used to attract attention. Just alone. Everything attracts attention. This microphone attracts attention. The lights attract attention. A dog running down the street attracts attention. A little kid playing in the street attracts attention. Radio going attracts attention. But was it meant to just attract attention? No. He is not attracting attention, basically. It is the word coming to the people in order that the hearts be turned back. So we've got three complete references in the Word of God. The Lord descending, the start of the rapture, with God bringing His own Word to the people by a prophet once, first witness. Secondly, Revelation 10 and 7. Thirdly, Malachi 4, 5 and 6, which is perfection. Let it be in the mouth of three witnesses, and you got to take it because that is perfection. That's God. Now, remember this. When John came, he didn't do miracles. So when John was on the scene, they didn't know who or what he really was. There were those who, because of the Spirit, elected, were drawn to John, believed him, but he didn't know miracles. Why? Because Christ was coming to do miracles. Now, in this age, Christ does not appear to the bride on earth in human form. He himself. So therefore, God cannot send a prophet and then vindicate him by God appearing on the scene. The fact that God has appeared on the scene by revelation, and that will soon be appearing in clouds of glory, after the tribulation takes place and the bride is called away, he will now send his prophet thoroughly vindicated by a supernatural ministry of the Holy Ghost, God revealing himself in a prophet as the proof that this is what's true. Now, if you don't believe that, which I believe you do believe though, Luke 17. It says, as it was in the days of Noah, verse 26, so shall it also be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. This tells me here that the days of Christ will repeat, but not Christ. Now, I talked this over with Dave Momlis. Dave Momlis is a native-born Greek. He studied the classic Greek for many, many years in Europe, because they have to over there. The very Greek this Bible was written in. Not being a theologian, thank God, he didn't have any access to grind. So I said, Dave, check from your encyclopedia, which is simply a Greek dictionary, this many volumes, paid $100 in postage alone to bring it over. I said, what does it mean to say the days of the Son of Man? Well, he got out his big old dictionary, went through, well, he said it's this way, supposing you and I went for a picnic. And he said, later on we got to feeling like we'd like to have, just we'd talk about the picnic. And we'd say, my, I wish we had those days again. He said, what you're saying is this according to the Greek verbatim. I wish we could duplicate those experiences. Alright, Christ came and experientially showed to the people he was God. He read their hearts, giving the sign of the Messiah. He showed the tremendous and mighty miracles he could do. Two things he did not do. He did not superimpose upon the people his sovereignty nor his creative power, though he was both. Because he came as the Lamb of God to redeem the world. It is not strange, therefore, in this age, when his ministry returns, but he himself does not, to vindicate the prophet who will bring the message, who has the voice of the sign, then the voice of the word. I say it is not strange that this time, because it is God himself coming, bringing those in Christ, that the prophet would have the sign of creation, which he did. Which he did. There's no doubt. The days of Christ, the prophet, would return to this earth. They would be, of course, predominant over any creative act. Because Son of Man does not refer to creative act. It refers to the prophetic ministry. Son of Man, Son of David, Son of God. Son of Man is the prophet. The Lord your God will raise up a prophet like unto me, said Moses, and him you will hear be cut off. And again, Son of David, the anointed one sitting upon the throne. And we know Son of God now, the Holy Spirit, the great one who is governing now from the mercy seat. I use that terminology. Now he could be off the mercy seat, but I just use that as theological terminology, word terminology. Now it says, as it was in the days of Noah, so it's going to be in the days, period. D-A-Y-S, plural. Days of Noah, days of Son of Man, a period of time. Now that's exactly what Revelation says over here, in the days of the voice of the seventh messenger, when he's going to begin to sound, the mysteries of God open up. The vindicated prophet would come with a great ministry, which would be the literal ministry of Christ on earth. And that's exactly what we saw. You got to tell you what you do. You look around, you'll see a lot of people got healing ministries. You show me, listen, I'll put all the ministries of healing together from the time of the Apostle Paul to William Branham. And you will not find all of them put together to stand up and say, bring me your 24 worst cases. I guarantee healing for all. Show me all of them put together that had a trance and vision like he did. I got an article right here by a fellow who's a Trinitarian, claims he's a prophet. Well, it's here somewhere. Yeah. Hogwash. I can show you he lied in the very things he said Christ told him. I'm not smart, but I'm no fool either. I can prove he had the same thing happen to him in the days of St. Martin, when a highly beautiful angel came in and said, I'm Jesus Christ, worship me. Because this one did not say what the Word of God said. And Paul said, though an angel of heaven come and see anything different from me, let him be accursed. This fellow's okay as a Trinitarian Pentecost, but he sure is not going to rank in my books or any of God's books as a man of God for this day. Golden calf vinegar. It says over here in verse 22 of the same book, the days will come and you'll desire to see one of the days the Son of Man and shall not see it. And they shall say to you, see here or go there, follow it after. It's not going to happen. Once the days of the Son of Man come, there's only one thing left. And that is that he himself will appear in clouds of glory after the rapture. We have seen those days upon this earth, and we will not see them again according to Scripture. There's no use looking for them. The only thing you can look for now is for the Word of God to become effective in the bride, and the next step is for the graves to open. Now, we mentioned this morning that when this man was upon earth here, there was going to be a time, according to Matthew 24 and 24, that the Spirit of God would literally anoint false prophets, just like Balaam, just like Judas, and they would deceive everybody but those who were called out by the Word. For there shall arise false Christ, even lying prophets. What's a lying prophet? He's a man that God allows to come on the scene with a genuine sign and wonder to test you whether you'll leave the Word. Now, God said in the book of Deuteronomy, I'm going to send the men among you, I'll send them amongst you, and they'll come with signs and wonders, they'll come with genuine signs, and they'll have genuine visions, it'll come to pass, and then they'll lead you from me. Now, I want to ask you a question. How do you get led from God? There's only one way you can get led from God, and that's getting away from His Word. Because you don't know otherwise. How do you know if you're led by God? It's in the Word. Woman says, I was led of God, and she preaches. She's nuts. So wrong. She is, sure, because the devil told her. You're going to preach? God didn't tell her to preach. When she made up her mind she was going to preach, God said, go ahead, just like Balaam. How can she say what God's Word didn't say? Talk to a young colored boy where I was preaching one time. He beat women preachers because he loved this woman under whose ministry he was converted. I said, all right then, son. Just ask you one question. Paul told us in the Word of God that the woman couldn't preach. You think maybe that Paul made a mistake? He said, I think he did. I said, then throw your Bible in the gutter. You've had it. He said, you denied God in your face, son. You've had it. You're finished. Rocked him right back in his heels. He stuttered and mumbled. And then he said, well, he said, no, I really wouldn't mean that. He said, you better not.
I said, I only did that not to shake your faith or to shake you, kid. Because you better smarten up. Doesn't matter what you think or I think or what we feel. It's what God said. So therefore, a prophet can come. And he'll show genuine signs and wonders. And it will be God testing the people. But he said the elect won't be fooled. Why? Because they'll check the prophet if he's in the Word. So, the first step then to the rapture is that there will be a great period of time, great in the sense of duration, as compared to the next two phases of the rapture. That the people of God cannot be caught up with the dead coming out of the grave until a prophet with the vindicated ministry of Christ returning to earth comes on the scene and brings the people the revealed mysteries of the seven thunders, which is the mysteries of the Word of God given by the prophet, he himself being one. And it says that this message will put the people in motion to the rapture. Now, what if this message scatters them? Or they don't take the Word? They won't make it. Now, I know it sounds very strange because you say, well, that makes then a man the criteria. Just come and hear me preach. The prophet, a fallible man with the infallible Word of God. And I'll prove to you your idea of a prophet isn't what God's idea is. So somebody's got to go, and it won't be God. Because he said, I remain forever. Hallelujah. Didn't say that about you. And he said his Word remains with him. In fact, his Word's above his name. In fact, he backs up his Word. So somebody's got to be wrong. The reason I put it this way so strong is because I had the same problem. I figured if God sent a prophet, he'd send a prophet the way I wanted a prophet. My idea. But I searched the Scripture diligently and I found that my idea didn't work. And I knew he wouldn't listen. Because I don't believe you can twist God's arm. If I can twist God's arm, I'm bigger than God. Now, let's go back again to the book of Thessalonians, the first. It says that this will take place. It will be this word, and this is a command. A command is a command. Now, the next is the voice of the archangel. Now, we all are acquainted with the fact that Brother Branham taught us the voice of the archangel was the dead coming out of the grave. Now, this seemed to be quite a stickler to me until I traced it through the Scripture to the best of my ability, because there isn't a great deal on it. And I found out where the archangel was mentioned, which is in the book of Jude, the little book before Revelation. And in the 9th verse it says, yet Michael the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body. And that's what comes out of the grave. So I knew I was on good ground. And he durst not bring a railing accusation against him, but said, the Lord rebuke you. Now, what has the archangel got to do with the body coming out of the ground? Well, what's it got to do with God sending an angel to get it and the devil saying he can't have it? That's the question. What's the devil got to do with this anyway? Now, it's a dead body. So we're on good ground to find out if Brother Branham was right, what the Lord showed him, that the voice of the archangel was the dead coming out of the grave. All right? Let's check our Scripture. What's the dead coming out of the grave? Resurrection, right? Okay. Let's go book to the book of Resurrection, which is the book of 1 Corinthians. I think that would be the logical thing to do under the circumstances. And we just may find something. And I believe we do. Because it says here, in verse 25, he must reign till he hath put all enemies under his feet, and the last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. The last enemy to go is death. Okay? So hold that in mind. Now let's go and find out some more about this old enemy death. Who in the world got power in death? What is this all about? Turn to Hebrews, the 2nd chapter, verse 14. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood,
he also himself took a part, not all, but he took a part of it. See? That through death he might not destroy, but paralyze, render impotent him that hath the power of death, that is the devil. Now, when does the devil get put away? He gets bound after Armageddon. All right, why then did the archangel have a job with Satan? Because the devil's got the power of death. And once death is set in, and it's over, we're not going to be raised by God now to the resurrection. And that body, the soul and spirit, gone. The devil is the possessor of that body because he has the power of death. Now, he can't take the soul and spirit, but that's in God's jurisdiction. But remember, the scripture says the body is dead because of sin, so the spirit is life because of righteousness. There's a distinction there. He has the power of death, and he's not put away. No, sir. He's not destroyed. He's not bound. He is merely brought to naught. In other words, he can't take the soul of the person and keep it, because if you and I died, being Christians, we would go to the paradise of God. We wouldn't go in the presence of God. We'd be caught up in paradise. We would not be in Hades, down there where the dead were before, waiting for Christ to come. No, sir. You wouldn't go into soul sleeping like some people try to tell you. No, sir, you're fully alive and awake. Right now there's a body, according to 2 Corinthians 5, a body eternal, not made with hands, waiting in heaven for you right now. And if you were to go, you'd go up there right now and be in that spirit body. Yes, sir. You wouldn't be eating and drinking, but you'd be enjoying fellowship. You'd look like you were many years ago, young looking. But you wouldn't have a physical body. Why? Because your body does not belong to God at this moment. It's just been bought. Your body's not been redeemed yet. Satan's got the power of death. And when he stood and went, so when God said, I want that body and bury it myself, Satan says, you're not going to take it. And Michael the archangel knew it. He recognized who had the power of death. God's not the death giver, he's the life giver. Devil's got death. Why? Because death is life perverted. Devil took life and perverted it. Went away from the Word. Right, that's why the church that hasn't got the Word is a purveyor of death. That's why those that don't believe the last day message will never be in it. They can't do it. Death will set in. So death was in the body. See? The archangel was sent. But death is in his domain. And long as the devil is not bound, there can't be a true resurrection. Now let's go to the book of Revelation and see that if that's true in the 12th chapter. In verse 7, there was war in heaven. And Michael and his angels, notice who is it? Michael, the archangel. And his angels fought against the dragon. And the dragon fought and his angels and prevailed not. Neither was there any place found him nor him. Why? The bride is going to go up there now. She's not going to be cohorting with the old devil. It's bad enough that old boy with his devils, his angels down here bothers. We're not going to be bothered up there. No, sirree. The old dragon was cast out, the old serpent called the devil and Satan. He gives you the whole genealogy here, which deceived the whole world. He was cast out in the earth, and his angels with him. And I heard a loud voice saying, now has come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God, and the power of his Christ, the accuser of our brethren, is cast down, which accused them before God day and night. There it is. Why? Because there's got to be a rapture take place. And Satan, having the power of death, he's cast down. Why? Who? By how? By God sending Michael and his angels. Now, let's see if this is right. Let's turn to book 1 Corinthians again, 15th chapter. Verse 51, behold, I show you mystery. We shall not all sleep. We shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. That's in the atoms. The shortest space of time known. It's like the duration of an atom, they might say, but it also means in the atoms too. At the last trump. What trump? What trump's going to sound? The trump of the last messenger. After the word of God's gone forth. And the dead in Christ shall be raised incorruptible. And we shall be changed. For this corruption must put on incorruption, and this mortal put on immortality. Now notice, so when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, and I'm going to change the Bible. Death has been defeated. Is that what it says? No. It doesn't say that. It says it's swallowed up. Death has been surrounded and just nullified like a great big sand bank coming, just bulldozing sand over him. He's undercover, but he's there. Doesn't say death is destroyed. Doesn't say he's done away with, because the last to go in the lake of fire at the end is death and the devil. Death and hell follow the Antichrist's wake, the pallid horse. And death and hell do not ride into the lake of fire except at the end of the sixth seal. And right now you're under the fourth seal. Go to seven church ages. So the rapture does not destroy death. The righteous coming out of the graves who died in Christ does not destroy death. Why? You're going to see the biggest death the world ever saw when billions are destroyed when Jesus Christ comes back. That's right. Death is not done away with. No, sir. It's swallowed. It's just pushed aside like the bulldozer piling sand on top of the snake. As long as you got him covered with sand, he can't bite, can't coil and strike you, do things. Notice it says, death is swallowed up in victory, not destroyed. Oh, death, where is thy sting? Oh, grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God which gives the victory to our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, turn with me to Philippians, the third chapter. Let me read this. Paul speaking, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. Notice, it does not say the resurrection, it says his resurrection. What happened at his resurrection? Tell me. Does anybody know? The dead came out of the grave. Right? The bodies came out of the grave, the Bible says, right? Matthew, what, 26, somewhere in there? The dead came, the bodies came out. They were seen to walk the streets, right? That's with his resurrection. Paul says that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, not thee, and the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto death. What is that? That's death to self. If by any means I may attain to thee resurrection and death. Now that's a contradiction. In the first place, you don't have to try to attain to your resurrection. You're going to be there whether you want or not. That's as simple as ABC, because the Bible said that Jesus died and rose again, and this is the witness that every man will stand in the resurrection. There won't be one missing, great and small. You could try to miss it. They walk smallness, dead. I'm going to stay with death. Don't bring me out of the grave. So come on up. So you know that this cannot be a proper translation. It couldn't possibly be a proper translation, and it's not, because it doesn't say that. It says here, if by any means I may attain to the out resurrection. I won't be in the resurrection, but I'll come up and I'll not be in it. I'll be out of it. Now I'll prove it. The Bible says there are two resurrections, right? The first and second. Is that correct? Entirely wrong. Entirely wrong. Because first of all, they came out with Christ. Is that zero or minus one? No, sir. That's a resurrection. But it's not the resurrection. The dead who come out when Christ descends for the bride is not the resurrection. It's out resurrection. There's only one resurrection, and you'll hear Brother Branham say it. It's the general resurrection of Daniel 12 and Revelation 20. When the sheep, so-called, and goats, so-called, if they're likened, they're not real sheep. The sheep never come into the judgment. But Matthew 25 also is the resurrection and the white throne. Daniel 12, Matthew 25, Revelation 20. But this is not it. This is his resurrection, where he went down and shook his fist under the devil's nose and said, I'm taking him in and brought him up. And he does the same thing right now. He sends his archangel down. They clean out the heaven to get the graves ready. And they say, graves up. And the devil can't. He said, I don't want to let him up. You know they're mine. And God says, I'm sovereign. I'll take what I want. Slaps him back. Doesn't put him out of the way. Just slaps him back. He says, deal with the crowd. Here you are. The dead come out of the grave. So what is it? The voice of the archangel is exactly what Brother Branham said. It is the dead coming out of the grave with their glorified bodies. So just search the scripture, all work out. Now what's the third phase? Well, before the third phase comes, remember that the bodies of the dead saints were seen walking the streets of Jerusalem. They let them come back. You know something? I don't think they were too happy though. Yeah. I can't picture those whole patriarchs coming out of the grave. You know, Joseph said, take my bones back. Why? He was a prophet. He knew there'd be a resurrection where? In Jerusalem, no place else. Abraham said, bury me in a certain spot. Jacob said, bury me in a certain spot. Isaac in a certain spot. Job in a certain spot. The people who came out with Jesus were all buried right in a small area in Palestine. And they came right up in through Jerusalem and they walked the streets. Who saw them? Only the apostles and those who were elect to God. So the dead will come out. And here is who will come first. Not Paul's group, no sir. If God allows us to see them before we're changed, although one place Brother Branham did say we'd only see them when we're changed, another place he told us that when the apostles saw the dead come out of the grave, they sure got resurrection faith in a hurry. And he was hinting that we'd sure get resurrection faith in a hurry if we saw them too. Well, I don't argue the point. I'm not really interested in it because it doesn't do anything for me in the sense that I've got to know at this time. But stick with the fact that they will be seen only by the elect when they're changed. Remember that the dead walked the street, we believe, 40 days when Christ was here upon earth, because there can be no scripture to satisfy me that says that Psalm 24 was fulfilled immediately after he said to Mary, touch me not, but I'm the first to send to my God and to your God. I am convinced that he only went up in the triumphal shout and march after the 40 days with clouds received him out of sight. They never saw the dead go with him, no sir. They just saw him. But they were invisible to them, but they went up in the triumphal shout of Psalm 24 after 40 days. So the dead will literally walk the street. Those who were dead, I mean. Resurrected bodies will literally walk the street. And there is no doubt that they will be here in that very same period of time, whatever those days were, when they were seen upon earth, and they were recognized as those coming out of the grave. Now, at this time, of course, this time, in a very short order, there will be the next thing, which is the trump of God. Now, what is the trump of God? The trump of God is the feast of the trumpets, summoning God's people to the wedding supper. Not the wedding. There is no wedding. It's already consummated. That's already over. You're married to Christ, you're not. See, there's only one bridegroom to the bride of all these ages, the seven ages, and they are already married. Now, I said a while ago, I forgot what I was going to say, is that of all the ages they come up, that those in the first age will be last. The Bible said the first shall be last and the last shall be first. So therefore, the bride of the first age will come up last, Paul's group. There will be the bride of this age, and the man that God sent will be upon this earth first of all. And there will be absolutely no doubt that under the truth of Brother Branham being the last day messenger who brought the word of God, he will appear first. And then there'll be Wesley and Luther and Columba and Martin and Arrhenius and down into Paul. The messengers that God gave in this age, they will all present the bride to Christ. And remember, she will be a virgin, a word of word bride. Because and the reason she must have the word is, as I'll explain later on again, remember that all through Scripture, the type is that you can only marry your kinsman because the Redeemer is a kinsman. And Christ is the Word, so therefore, he will be married only to a Word bride. We'll go into that fully and show you the ramifications of that on another night. But this wedding supper of the Lamb will be for 3.5 years, and they will be in the atmosphere in a dimension which we do not even pretend to guess about. Because if our eyes were open today,
we would literally see spirits in this building. Not the spirits of just men departed, but you would see wicked spirits and even good spirits, guardian angels, who are in this building at this time. You might even see some manifestation of God by pillar of fire if your eyes open. I don't know. I don't look for it because I don't know what God would do. But I do know that it's the dimension of which we speak.
And they will be with Isaac, Abraham, and Jacob sitting down at the table of the Lord for 3.5 years. Now, during that period, remember, the devil's been cast down. Now, notice, the sleeping virgin that didn't have oil doesn't make it. Now, I want to tell you something about this. Maybe Brother Lowry can tell us when he comes, but I know Bishop Fly is a good friend of mine, and he is a Hindu by birth. And he's one of the cleverest men in the Word of God, and in church history, and in Oriental customs I've ever met. If any man can show you the beauty of the shepherd, the good, that I am the door of the sheep, that man surely can. A very dedicated Christian. And when I asked him about this, because I was wondering concerning the doctrine of election and perseverance, which we often call eternal security, it puzzled me to think that here were, he said, that these women said, we had, well, our oil has run out. And I asked him, and I wish I had made a verbatim copy of what he told me. Because he said, Brother Dale, they lied. They never had the oil in the first place. And he explained exactly why, from the customs of the Oriental and the Bible, how they never did have oil. They said they did, but they didn't. And that's what Brother Branham told him. They never had the Holy Ghost.
Now, you don't have any leaks out, because if you got the Holy Ghost, you're what? Sealed to the day of redemption, and the bleach of the blood of Christ makes it so that John 5 and 24 comes into existence, not John 5 and the rest of it, where he mentions the second resurrection, because in John 5 there are two resurrections. I might as well go into it, because you'll see what the resurrection there is we've been talking about. We get a little out of alignment, a little out of chronology here, but who cares? I'm not much of a theologian anyway. And I don't suppose you are either, so that takes care of all of it.
It says here, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word, the called out ones by the word, the elect, and believeth, and you'll believe, hath everlasting life, already has it,
you see,
and shall not come into the judgment, but is permanently passed from death and life. Notice, they shall never come to a judgment, see. Now notice 25, verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming and now is when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God and they shall live. They sure did too, they came out of the grave. It's going to happen again. Whereas the Father hath life in himself, he's given the Son to have life in himself and so on. But notice in verse 28, this is different from 25, marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in which all, A-double-L, all that are in the grave, not those that hear the voice. No, sir. All. Two different resurrections. Shall come forth, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of judgment, damnation. But this group here that believes already has life and it's never in a judgment. And these down here come up and are. What is this group? This is the out resurrection called the first resurrection, just to type it out as the time. See, what are these women back here, these sleeping virgins? They never had the oil. Never did. Never had the Holy Ghost. They lied about it. They said, our oil has run out. Didn't have in the first place. You go look at your fundamentalist churches right today. They say, well, we've got the Holy Ghost. Talking to a man right today. Believe you get the Holy Ghost and you're born again. And he thinks you're born again when you believe. Brother, sister, that's not so. You believe then you're born again. Don't read your Bibles wrong. Read it right. Sleeping virgins. They're good people. They do their best to believe the word, but they're not sealed unto God. They don't come in. Now, what happens during that time? That's the time on earth that the devil becomes incarnate in a man. This is now 2 Thessalonians, the second chapter. See? The man of sin being revealed. The devil himself incarnate. The beast and the false prophet. This is your ecumenical move, completely to completion, to complete fruition, bringing the man of sin in, and they're all religious doing it, and they're all claiming to be worshiping God while they're doing it. And if you don't think, brother, sister, this day is a bad day, that Brother Branham mentioned the two spirits so close, let me just tell you what happened now down in Notre Dame, where they're claiming the Spirit of God's falling. They're supposed to fall in Harvard, tongues and everything else going on. What happened out there? Father O'Connor, so-called, I don't like to use the word Father, Priest O'Connor, talked to Brother Martin and Brother Baker, two Christian preacher friends of mine. He said one morning as they came out of devotion, this group that speaks in tongues and all, there's an accident right in the front door. Two boys were hit by a car, and one was completely broken to pieces, dying, unconscious, and the other was lying there with two legs broken crisscrossed like broken broomsticks and cursing God. They walked over to the first boy and prayed and just rose up like that, perfectly normal. They went to the second boy, laid hands on him, rebuked him, and then prayed, and he grew stiff as a poker, and suddenly got up to his feet like by some kind of power, and there he walked straight, not a thing wrong with him. But the same people, by the Spirit that's operating in them, was told to go to the altar and worship the wafer, the host, for 1 hour. And the same Spirit in them told them to pray to Mary, because that was the way to do it. So where's your evidence the Holy Ghost gone now? There's no evidence except you're in the Word. If Christ is the Holy Ghost and He is the fulfillment of that Word, then if you have the Holy Ghost, the Word of God becomes fulfilled in you. They sure they had the Holy Ghost back in Luther's day, but not like we're going to have, because remember, the Spirit and the Word's one. That's coming to our day. Well, now, that's been the bride before she goes. We'll talk about it, as I say, another time. But you see, down here on earth, that sleeping virgin, when she finds out she's compromised, because the devil will say, take my mark. In other words, the mark in the hands, do his will. The mark in the forehead to believe the doctrine. And she'll find out she's trapped. She'll say no. And there'll be multitudes of people who give their lives and they die. And they will then stay under the altar. Now, they won't be cast away, but they'll be put in the place of detention. Not like you and I. If we go today, we'll walk around and be in a different place entirely. But they won't have that freedom. They'll be placed away till the end of 1,000 years, and they can come back. But you see, the Antichrist force is now in power, and this is a strange thing, brother, sister. It's the hardest thing in the world to get into the human mind why it is that the devil hates the little group of people so bad that he does. That he will stop at nothing to gain the complete worship of the world. He's already got everybody but 144,000 Jews, because you see, Moses and Elijah come back as natural men on this earth to bring the Word of God to the 144,000 that are sealed. 12,000 out of each tribe. They kept Ephraim and Dan because they sinned and their names are not now under heaven at this time. But they're rejected and they're killed. And a rapture takes place to bring them to take them up. And the people are amazed. Hallucination. Because hundreds of thousands of devils are released. They've been released already, but hundreds of thousands more will be. And these are spirits of hallucination more than anything else in the world, because the world's going mad. It's already on its way. LSD is rearranging the chromosomes. The birth control pill is absolutely destroying people. There isn't anything that's not killing the people, drugs and all. Until the people are so saturated with cumulative drugs, there's nothing left in this world. And so with devil power now, it's going to be the most terrible thing in the world to be in that tribulation. You talk about, I believe a lot of scriptures mention how people are going to itch and all. Listen, I want to tell you one thing. Have you ever itched with nerves? You need to find out something. You don't need a disease to itch or a germ or a bug. Nerves will kill you. Hives and everything else break out in your body. And you talk about being enervated and your energy going. Look at your diet right now. Most people right now have hypoglycemia because you eat too much sugar and starch. You know that your diet will put you in the insane house? You know why? Because your nerve energy goes so low, let's say it dips down past 80. And you don't know it if you wash the window one day, rubbing off dirt, and suddenly your energy goes right down and you go insane and you find yourself in a padded cell trying to clean everything in the house, trying to rub that dirt off, because that's when you went insane. Get that rotten junk out of your blood system, you come back to normalcy. I'm telling you the truth. I'm not lying. I got my doctor books. I read this stuff.
But just think the devil's crowd being turned with hundreds of thousands of devils cast down. Man already dietary. He's a mess. Physically, he's a mess. Mentally, he's a mess. His mind's off the Word of God. The bride is gone. That which hindered is taken out of the way. The Holy Spirit's out of the church now. Christ outside standing rejected him. The devil thrown down upon her. What do you expect? Picnic? No, sir. And the devil gets everybody worship him and whom he can't. He kills and he hates 144,000. And he said, I'll go and take him and I don't care what happens. And he tries to do. And you know something? It's just at hand. It says all the armies of the world go up against Israel. They don't all have to go up against him. That's a token expression. All the world is against Israel right now politically, because even the states wouldn't stand with her when she took Jerusalem back and said, give the land back to the earth. Who is the United States to tell them to do what God gave them? Tell this nation to shut his mouth. They wouldn't listen to a prophet, and the prophet is the greatest man in the land. He's bigger than kings and princes and presidents. Certainly, they wouldn't listen. Now, the devil, you just can't fathom this, how he hates the 140,000. He hates anything that's real with God. And he can't stand not being worshipped. So he goes up to Jerusalem having broken his covenant, turning the armies loose. And that's the time that the communists who are in league with the Western Bloc turn on the harlot to burn her flesh like she's been doing everywhere the Catholic Church has been. You say, how in the world do the communists get with the Roman Catholics? Because of this, the communists cannot exist by themselves. They have to have world trade. And they can't feed themselves, and they never will feed themselves, because you can't organize the farmer. He's a funny breed of men. He's the one man that nobody can do anything with. And he was meant to be that way by God, because we're all meant to be that way by God. He said, stay on the land and have your own fig tree and plum tree, and I'll take care of you pretty nice. A couple of sheep around to make little feet, and usually going bad, bad, you know, wolf. Right. So you can't fool with the farmer. But the communist farmers cannot feed themselves. And India will soon be commie, and she can't feed herself because we spoiled her. We gave her food. Now they want to sit around the big fat old tummies and just burp and what have you. No, that's right. That's right. You read up exactly what the political agronomists tell you. The Hindus, the Indians themselves admit that they have been destroyed by welfare. The people that could raise it don't raise it anymore. Their starvation is coming because of indolence. And God said, if a man doesn't work, he can't eat. Sure, amen. I believe that. See, now, with all this going on, the commies cannot feed themselves. Back in the hungry 30s, they laughed at us and said, you crazy Americans want gold, we'll give you gold. They shipped it over unrefined by boatloads and unloaded in Seattle. We took their gold. When they needed the wheat out of America, they had to give us, I think, what was it, 250 tons of gold to buy our wheat. And we could destroy all the commies right now if we told Canada, look, Canada, we'll subsidize your wheat, but you send one boatload, we'll torpedo it. And the commies would starve right today. But that's not God's plan. The kings of the north are the commies. The kings of the east are the eastern commies. We're kidding ourselves. We're fighting against God, I believe, being in Vietnam. I still say, I believe that what God showed me is true. That's a trap there, brother, sister. It's going to be one of the biggest terrible disasters we've ever faced. We'll face it. I'm not saying I know it's God, but I believe it was God. Just like you showed me in China, was standing back watching India. You watch, it'll soon bring. But they can't feed themselves. But they're determined to take the world, just like the harlot got her. So they're standing back waiting. And when they see the right moment, they loose bombs on the Vatican, they loose bombs on America, we loose bombs back, and there'll be nothing but the Holocaust that Brother Branham saw. Nothing but craters. But Christ comes, warding it all off at Armageddon. Atomic power, see, killing, that's when the blood flows. And he stands by the 140, he's got him covered by his hand. And they say, there's our God. Oh, the world hates him. They scream, they're fearful. Those are necessary because they're demented now. They don't understand a thing. They've gone into some type of heathen worship that God knows what it's like. Look at the heathen, how they do. They see lightning and thunder, and they just go to pieces. The same thing will happen upon the world. But Christ comes and holds his hand on, reveals himself, and then they say, oh, there's our God. Wonderful. And then he just lets them look at the hand, and they say, oh, just get in now. This isn't quite what we thought it was. He only saved us to destroy.
Remember that's what the children of Joseph's brother said? He just saved us to destroy it. He just wants to make a mockery out of it. But Joseph said, God did it for a purpose. He sent me here. And Christ said, well, at least I got those wounds in the hand through the house of my friend. It's all right. And Israel will mourn 144,000. Now, listen. Remember that the bride is just out here in the dimension.
See?
Now, Christ will take the 144,000. Remember, the scripture says, we don't know what manner of men we shall be, but when we see him, we'll be like him. See, when you see him truly revealed in this age, you'll turn, your body will change to be like him. And when they see him, their bodies will be changed. Now that's right, because the scripture said, they are virgins and they follow the Lamb. Now if you're a virgin, you're a eunuch, or vice versa. See? And it's the eunuch that takes care of the bridal chamber. So Christ will renovate, bring us back to the original Garden of Eden primordial state, bring the bride here on earth, and the 144,000 will be servants in the honeymoon period of 1,000 years. And I still maintain there will be no birth in that area. I stand with what Brother Branham taught, and I have no tape that he changed it. That he based it on Isaiah when he said, one shall build, another shall not inhabit, and one shall plant, another shall not eat thereof. Which would take successive generations. Don't ask me to explain what one's going to die at 100 years, because that could be an interpolation belonging to someplace else. Scripture doesn't run by chronology. Let me prove it to you. You still with me? Let me show you something here. Go turn to Isaiah. Now, if you agree with this, that's okay. You don't have to. I'm just going to show you what I'm basing on. Let's go to Isaiah 11. There shall come forth a rod of the stem of Jesse, a branch shall grow out of his roots, and the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and fear of the Lord, and shall make him quick of understanding in the fear of the Lord, and he shall not judge after sight of his eyes, neither reprove after hearing his ears. Why? Because he's got the word of wellness. But with righteousness shall he judge the poor, reprove with equity for the meek of the earth, and he shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, and shall with his breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked. Notice that coming in there. And righteousness shall be the girdle of his loins, and faithfulness the girdle of his reins. And the wolf shall lie with the lamb, the leopard shall lie with the kid, and the calf with the young lion, the fattening together, the little child lead him. And the cow and the bear shall feed, and the young shall lie down together, the lion with the feed ox with the wheat straw with the ox. And the sucking child shall play on the hold of the ass, and the weaned child shall put his hand in the carpenter's den. They shall not hurt nor destroy on the holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the east. That's the millennium, see? But notice verse 10. And in that day, what day? The day when there'll be no hurt in the holy mountain, there shall be a root of Jesse, which shall stand for an ensign to the people, and to it the Gentiles shall seek, and his rest be glorious. If that's the case, you and I are lost, because no Gentile can be saved until the millennium. Why? It tells you that right here. If you want to study chronology, and see, I can read the Bible and know what it says by just reading it, why it's all laid out. Is it? It says in that day there'll be a root of Jesse. So who was Christ? Apostle or a bastard? We're all lost. The Jews are right. Ain't nothing to nothing. Because it says that doesn't come to this here. No, he doesn't say that at all. You've got to know by the Holy Ghost where Scripture goes, because the Greek nor the Hebrew is not to stop punctuating. And let me tell you, brother, sister, you and I can't wait for history to find out what chronology was. We got to know today. How are we going to know? God sent a prophet. If the church depends on looking back at where she was, how does she know where she is? If you can all the time tell what God was and what he might be, but don't know what he is, where you at? You're lost. You haven't got a hope. God had to send a prophet. He had to send someone to tell us the time of day and know what it was. Have to have a man to tell us what this was. Because nobody knew in Israel and Christ was here except John the Baptist and Christ. Nobody, except those to whom God had revealed. Educated men couldn't see it, because why? The chronology was all wrong.
Well, they said he got him in the millennium, got him out of the millennium, got him in the millennium, got him out of the millennium, got the Gentile here, got him over there. My God, where are we? Take the brother. You know where we're at? We're just about at the end of the first phase of the rapture. What's the next thing? God turning to Israel, which he does when the Mosque of Omar gets cleaned off. That's any time. Now take a bulldozer over there in 24 hours. Rip her out. They've got enough bulldozers right now. In fact, they've got enough Jews right now to pick up the stone to throw it off. If they didn't mind opening the door on poor Brother Matthew over there and shooting him down, the keeper of the tomb, I don't see why they'd have any problem figuring out they ought to get rid of the Mosque of Omar. Because it's far better to have the Arabs mad if they're mad now than have the Christians, so-called. And people do not take lightly to how they killed him. Right. This is a political situation, brother and sister. And it's a religious political situation because Israel right now says, we'll preserve the shrine. Let's all be buddies. Just keep the land. Oh, yeah. Oh, can you see it? It's all over. If you need it written, if any of us here need it written on the wall, pen or net, brother and sister, let's go home now and play chopsticks or watch TV or something. Eat, drink, and be merry for the work for dead ducks anyway. It's all over. Time has run out. We're already finishing step number one of the rapture. The next thing, the dead come out of the grave. How many days? Could be a maximum of 30, 40 days. In 6 weeks, you'll be all over. That's right. 6 weeks. Actually, I'm not fooling. The fact of the matter is the dead may be walking the streets right now. And it could be over in 5 minutes. Because I do not know any scripture where those of us who are changed in our body will walk the earth for any length of time. I have no scripture. I believe it's almost an instant thing. It comes out. Now, in that millennium, what happens? The honeymoon for 1,000 years. What happens at the end? At the end of that time, the open graves of all people, the dead come up. Satan comes up. The white throne judgment. At the white throne judgment, Satan finds millions of people, billions of them rejected just like he is. Now remember, they're people. They come back in bodies. Not glorified bodies. They come back in bodies. And Satan is there. And I believe he's in that. And he's got that body picked up. Got something. He stands there, unshackled. He was bound by circumstances. Nobody was there to sin. And he could bother them. But now he's free. And he said, now it's do or die, because it's a lake of fire for us, everlasting destruction, or we're going to take the kingdom. Give us one more try. And the script, and they absolutely do come against Almighty God. That's true. God's holy people, whatever city's there, whatever building, wherever it is, I don't know what's there exactly, but they come against it. That's right. And the Bible said that God destroyed them, calling fire down upon them. And after that is when he takes the people of God off the earth, where they go up to New Jerusalem, which is the great city, which is a people, which is building. I don't understand it, but it's true. Jasper, sardonic stone, what is that? Sardine stone, diamonds, emeralds, all that. God's people. And there is when he recreates the earth through the explosion and writes it back on its axis and all. Makes all renovated the atmosphere and all, because remember, our atmosphere is garbage. Every time you breathe garbage. Let a woman go in an office where men smoke, you get a tobacco heart. We just walked into a building last night, Larry and Brother Smith and I did, and walked out in about 3 minutes. It needs to, where's that smoke? And I smelled my suit. I said, well, the air picks up smoke. My suit's smoke there. There it was. It's just the air is full of garbage. Your water's full of garbage. There's nothing left. See? So God, even though he has renovated the earth partially for the millennium, he is now going to do it all over again. See? And the earth dissolving with the fervent heat doesn't mean it's annihilated and goes back to nothingness. The dissolving is dissolving, and they tell me volcanic ashes about the richest stuff in the world to grow vegetables and things on. I don't know. They just say it. Understand that, and then tell me to understand agriculture. So the whole earth being renovated, then you see, that's when New Jerusalem itself will come on down 1,500 miles square and be there to Lord. That's no wonder Paul said, wherefore comfort one another these words.
because this is the end time.
He said to them, don't be deceived by a letter from our hand or any spirit or anybody telling you. He said, no, it's not yet. He said that. He said, I'll tell you why. He said, this is this spirit that's just in the world now, this Antichrist spirit, has got to be in a man. Then it's got to go down through the ages until the man of sin himself is raised up. Where is he? There's somebody right here now without a doubt, a Gentile. Who is he? The Pope. Old Antichrist is that? This is the end, brother. Sister. This is the end. What is it? The first phase is finished. In the process. It could be completely finished. Closing up. Okay, now what's going to happen with that message? The message was meant for God's people. The message will bring God's people in its step. Will put them in motion. For the end. Oh, we've been listening for years for a big screen. We said a secret rapture. How is it going to be a secret rapture? There's going to be a big screen. How will be a secret rapture if the Son of Man gets revealed coming like lightning? Not that at all. It's the word that comes by the prophet, which is the command putting God's people in motion for the final rising. See, that's it. And the Son of Man revealed has been now in the ministry of a prophet, Christ's own ministry, God revealing himself through the flesh of a man, which is exactly what he did. Doesn't make the man God. No, sirree. No, just the ministry. Thus saith the Lord, bringing that word out. Why? That the word may now, what? Do what? Go into the bride. Right? That's where it goes. That the bride may be ready for that day. That's what the Lord has for it, brother and sister. I hope that you've been able to see what I can see tonight. I certainly believe what Brother Branham taught. I know when I was in Yuma and heard him, I sat there at that. I was a little bit sorry that they had the man at the banqueting table, which is never good. I just soon had a meeting where Brother Branham could have been. But when he got up that night and he said, the shout is the message, I was startled. And I said in myself, Brother Branham, I've heard you say a lot of things, but this is the furthest out I have ever heard. I can't take this. And so he went on, and I guess he felt my spirit in the rest of there, because he said that night if Christ had to come, no one would have made the rapture. Not one would have. Not one person would have gone. True. And he said again, he said, the shout is the message. And I said, man, I wish you wouldn't say that, because that's really nothing short of ridiculous. And he said it the third time, and I said, hold it. When was he ever wrong? So I said, okay, the shout is the message. And it is. You know something? I was surprised. There's a man without too much money. He says to his wife, honey, I'm going to buy you a mink coat. And she says, yeah, and I know you wish you could. And the old boy brings the mink coat home. He said, there you are. I want to tell you, I was even more surprised than that. But just before closing, I want to tell you, years ago, you know, I told you that many years ago I quit preaching. I didn't mean to quit preaching. I thought I'd keep on preaching, but I'd work as well. And it didn't work, because the first thing I did, I never preached, period. And I backslid. I just left the ministry all entirely. I didn't backslide like a lot of people might, but as far as I'm concerned, sin's sin. What I did was just as wrong as anybody else may do something that seems a thousand times wrong. The fact that I quit in unbelief is what did it. But anyway, after Brother Branham, I saw and heard him in Canada, I knew that I'd have to go back and serve God and back in the ministry, which I wasn't happy about, but I knew it would take place. And when I came through healing, I almost dead. Actually, I was dying and in the process of getting a nervous breakdown, or had one and didn't know it or something, I don't know. That God gave me a complete deliverance, and he opened my eyes to doctrine, sovereignty, Godhead and all. And one day I said, Lord, I don't know why I said it, because I shouldn't have said it. What about the second coming? And he said, leave it alone, and I'll teach you when the time comes. Well, a tract fell into my hands about the last trump and this and that, and so I became a convert to believing the saints go through the tribulation. And I could present an awful wicked case, believe me, because I had my notes, and I dug it out, because I tried to be as logical and analytical as I can, which could be a downfall. And I was so absolutely certain concerning it, that when Brother Branham caught the rapture in the seals and brought it to a head, I had to go to him and say, Brother Branham, I want to talk to you about the rapture. So we began going back and forth. And the more he went back, the more I went forth, the more he went forth, the more I went back. It got desperate. Now, we weren't getting anywhere. I could just seem to take everything he said and throw it back at him. And I didn't want to do that because I knew that if he was right, I couldn't be. And I knew that he would be more right than I would ever be. So I was trying to get things. I said, Brother Branham, I'm not trying to argue, and I'm not trying to displease. All I want to know is, then just tell me one thing. What is it? I said, before God, is it really thus saith the Lord, there's a rapture and we don't go through tribulation? He said, this is thus saith the Lord. And I said, that's all I want to know, Brother Branham. If you say so, I believe it. And God will give me the scripture. And you know he did. And I believe that's the reason when he preached the rapture and I couldn't take it, is when it came back, God said, I will show you. See, don't figure it out yourself. See, I shouldn't have tried. And I didn't. When I humbled myself and said, all right, God send a prophet. If that's what it is, that's what it is. And that's when I could open the books, which are books of instruction and word studies, that I could open, and God led me and showed me that the prophet was right. The shout is the message, brother Christopher. And the voice is the opening of the gate. Just what I showed you. It's got to be that. If it isn't what I said, tell me what it is. Just tell me. If what I've said is wrong, you tell me how that voice could be the opening of the grave. It is. Because it's God sending his army, because Satan, death is not yet taken. This is an out resurrection, brother, sister. Amen. I don't want to be in the resurrection. I want to be in the out resurrection. Because if I'm in the resurrection, I've got to go through judgment. But if I'm in the out resurrection, which is his resurrection, because he's not coming down to get him out of the grave. No, sir. He did that once. Come on up. No, not doing this time. He just says, come on up. Angels, go on, clear the atmosphere, and then come on up. See? And it is. And the trumpet is what? The people. One of these days, by faith, we'll sing on, not just feasting with my Lord here, but we'll be able to say the trumpet has sounded. We're up there eating with the Lord. Amen. God bless you. That's right. What is it, Wednesday night at 7:30? Wednesday night, next service, 7:30. Maybe Wednesday night speak on sovereignty of God or some subject that you might be interested in knowing about. Right? 7:30? Amen. Just be the fifth? Okay. Amen. Everybody happy?
Amen.
Amen. What do we sing? Let's sing a song Brother Branham used to sing. What would you suggest? Let's walk in the light? Huh? Who knows that? Do you sing it? How about that? Who's in voice? Wait, come on. We'll walk.
Brother
Elton. Good. We're going to sing. Let's sing some of those songs. Amen. You know, let's face it. He may be gone, but his influence isn't, because we are his influence.
Amen.
Amen. I don't look for him to walk in the door, but my, I sure be wonder if he did.
Amen.
We sure know the saints were walking around. I guess we know we were changed too. It's all right.
Amen.
Let's sing some of those, a couple of those songs before we go, and then we might sing what he always loved to sing, that little song of Till We Meet, because we're just made to that we will meet in the air. Yeah, that's
awesome.
Amen. If we walk in the light, then we'll come from the east and the west. Let's sing that. They come from the east and the west. If we're the east, bless God, we're coming. Let's sing and closing till we meet. And I think what Brother Branham had to do, shake hands. I think it's good. Get right back to spirit of love, because we just may not see each other, you know, again until he comes to us. We know now it's in. Now let's bow our heads and humbly ask the Lord to dismiss us, and Brother Henry Abel Cole, if he wouldn't dismiss us with prayer. Praise the Lord.